I'm going to read from Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, "The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire." So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Hanani here plays a very small role. He comes to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is an official in the court of the king of Persia, an important man. He's a cupbearer, but that was a highly trusted position and one which was important. Hanani, according to chapter 7, verse 2, may have been a sibling or a younger brother of Nehemiah. And we're told that he comes to visit Nehemiah. He came with my brethren. It could literally be his other brothers as well, from Judah. Whether they're coming deliberately to inform Nehemiah of the dire state of the Jewish nation, or whether they were coming anyway, and Nehemiah, being burdened for his people, asked the question without being provoked, as it were, it is not clear. But evidently, the Jewish nation had been exiled by the Babylonians. The Babylonian Empire had been taken over by the Persians, and the Persians had allowed the Jews to return. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Sounded wonderful, didn't it? And yet, we know that when they got there, the nation was in a poor state. Physically, no walls around Jerusalem. The temple had to be rebuilt. Spiritually, the nation was even more shattered. A number of people were asking, "We are the Jews, we're in the promised land, but did God abandon us altogether? Look at the state of the nation. Is there any point worshipping God now?" And various prophets were sent to them, such as Malachi. Nehemiah isn't a prophet, he was an administrator. But the Lord had not finished with his people. Although they were at a low ebb, although they were in a poor state, the Lord still had a purpose for his people, chief of which was the coming Messiah. So what does Hanani say about Jerusalem? Notice the people called the survivors. They've survived the exile. They're in great distress and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem are broken down. The gates are burned with fire. Now, Nehemiah knew the walls were broken down, and he knew the gates had been burned. What he didn't know is that the walls remained broken and the gates remained. In other words, there's been no rebuilding. There's been no restoration. The exiles have returned from captivity to Zion, but they're still living, as it were, on a campsite. Well, we know that Nehemiah is God's appointed man to go back to Jerusalem and build that wall. At the moment, Nehemiah doesn't know that. Does Hanani know it? Well, if we don't know Nehemiah's mind, we don't know Hanani's mind either. So what do we know of Hanani? Possibly a relative of Nehemiah. He's come on a long journey with bad news. I think Hanani is as burdened by the state of Jerusalem as Nehemiah. Has Hanani prayed about it? I imagine he has. But one thing he does do is that he shares his burden with his brother. And one of the advantages, perhaps, of coming to a small midweek meeting like this is that we can share each other's burdens. And even if we don't feel we can share in a meeting like this, we can find a Christian brother or sister in the Lord and share with them what our troubles and our burdens are. I'm not entirely convinced that a problem shared is a problem halved. Sometimes a problem shared is a problem doubled. but at least you've got another pair of shoulders upon which to bear it. So Hanani teaches us one thing. Number one, share your burden, share your problem. Number two, we know that Hanani has gone on a long journey. There were other people he could have shared that problem with. Any number of Jews were living in the Persian Empire. There would have been people living in Jerusalem without those walls and gates who would have been equally troubled by it. Why does Hanani go on such a long journey? Well, I think he knows that God has a plan to restore Jerusalem. And if it's going to be restored, it will have something to do with the Persian king and the Persian capital. I wonder if Hanani has already understood that Nehemiah is going to be God's agent. Now, I can't prove that from the text, but why go on such a long journey? Why share with Nehemiah the broken and damaged state of Jerusalem? I wonder if Hanani realised that he was not the man to do the rebuilding. But there was a man holding a wine cup over in Susa who was. So I think that the second lesson Hanani can teach us is that even if we are not somebody to fulfill a particular need, we ought to be on the lookout for others who are. As the pastor of the church, God does not use me to do everything in the church. I can't do everything in the church. I don't have all the skills for everything in the church. Nobody in any church has the skill or the patience or the time to do everything. But it is important to look out for those who do. Hanani seems to have gone a long way just to tell Nehemiah the walls are broken and the gates are burned. I wonder if that journey was in fact a journey of faith in the hope that God would challenge Nehemiah, call Nehemiah, use Nehemiah to fulfill that purpose. The fact that Nehemiah responds to that, to the news he receives in verse 4, by sitting down, weeping and mourning, demonstrates, I think, the care he has for the holy city and the people of God. He goes on to fast and pray before the God of heaven. There might not be much evidence in the book of Nehemiah of Hanani's own spiritual life. I have no reason to doubt he was a spiritual man. But we know that Nehemiah was. And I wonder if Hanani goes to Nehemiah, who may have been his brother, and knowing that as a man of God, not only will he share Hanani's problem, no, not only will he help shoulder that burden of grief, but he'll also pray about the matter. Sometimes people use prayer as a last resort, or they think of prayer as simply something you do when you're desperate. So you've tried doing everything yourself, and it doesn't work. So I guess we can always fall back on prayer. Nehemiah, of course, begins with prayer, and then he approaches the king. Well, of course, I'm not really speaking on Nehemiah. I'm speaking on Hanani. But I wonder if Hanani could recognise that in Nehemiah. The Lord gives everybody in his church, everybody in his kingdom, a role, a responsibility, a ministry. Nehemiah, because of his work, was not able to freely travel around the Persian Empire. When he goes back to Jerusalem, he needs a special permission from the king. Hanani, it would seem, does have the ability and the means to travel. Nehemiah has the means and the ability to have the ear of the king of Persia. So the third thing that I think Hanani teaches us is understand you can't do everything, but what you can do, do it and do it well. Travel in the ancient world was expensive. You couldn't earn a living while you're travelling unless you're a merchant. Maybe Hanani was a merchant. But somehow he's travelled from Jerusalem all the way to Susa. In today's modern geographical parlance, would say from Israel to Iran. It's a long way to go on foot or on a horse or a camel. In order to take news, to brief Nehemiah about what is going on. Hanani had no right to enter the presence of the king of Persia. Had he tried, the scepter would not have been extended and he would have been cut down. But he's able to travel and he's able to come to Nehemiah. So if I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do the other, but I can do that little thing and this little thing, then do it. And do it to the glory of God. Each one of us has a ministry in the church here on earth. And if we discharge it faithfully and carefully and graciously, we will stand before the Lord and he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I've begun reading the biography of Billy Graham. It's a rather thick tome, I must say. It'll take me a good while to get through it. But Billy Graham, you know, for his faults, he did have an outstanding public ministry. And most of us who are preachers, and the rest of us as well, will probably not come anywhere near to the level of use which he was able to give the Saviour. But if God hasn't called you to that ministry, God doesn't expect you to have that ministry. But if God has called you to talk to people, or to wash up, or to clean windows, or to encourage, or indeed to pray, then do it, and do it well. The book from which I read is not called the Book of Hanani. Hanani chapter 1 and verse 2. No such book. It's the Book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah gets the credit. Nehemiah has gone down in history. Nehemiah is a hero of the faith. But he was only able to become that great hero of the faith because little Hanani made that journey in chapter 1, verse 2. And so the fourth thing Hanani is going to teach us. Sometimes, like in a game of football, you might not be the one who scores the goal, but you are the one who passes the ball. Without which, the scorer couldn't score. Hanani has a subsidiary ministry to Nehemiah. And yet without Hanani, Nehemiah could never have been the great man of God that he was called to be. Hanani has a supporting role. But supporting roles are absolutely essential. If Hanani had said, no, I want to be the governor of Judah. I want to rebuild the wall. It simply couldn't and wouldn't have happened. It was God's will that Nehemiah be the governor and the rebuilder. But God used Hanani to inspire Nehemiah to share with him the burden for the state of Jerusalem and for him to become the man of God whom God wanted him to be. I imagine in any church, in any Christian organisation over time, there are more Hananis than there are Nehemiahs. And God uses each one of them. Thank God for Hanani, one of the brethren who came with the men from Judah. Amen.